Some question?
Yes, Maharaj. Srila Guru Maharaj in his lecture says that Bhaktivinoda Thakur aspires to see Sri Gauranga as Grihastha, not as Sannyasi. We also heard that Srila Gurudev could not tolerate images with Mahaprabhu having shaved head like Sannyasi. But when we read Chaitanya Charitamrita, we can think that after taking sannyas, little of Chaitanya became even more charming. What should the preferences of our gurus concerning these lilas mean to us?
Everything was okay until the word charming. Because that would not be the word. After he takes sannyas, I mean, if you read Chaitanya Charitamritam, they don't say that it was more charming. Say, for example, when Mahaprabhu, he's in Puri, you know, his ecstasy, and when he hears these songs of separation of the house of Advaita, his mind is shattered. When Advaita sings the song of separation, it's from Vidyapati, I believe. It's originally voiced by Srimati Radharani and say, oh, how fortunate I am, Madhava has graced my house today. Advaita sings that when Mahaprabhu, a few days after sannyas, is there in Santipur, and it says, his mind was shattered. He's experiencing the devastating effects of the ecstatic transformation that accompanies the depth of feeling of separation. So these pastimes, that is their emphasis. And what is described is not charming. That he is rubbing his face in the walls in separation from rubbing his face, blood is oozing. They find him in the morning all bruised and bloodied. Sometimes they find him in front of the Jagannath temple. All of his limbs have entered his body, appears like a golden tortoise. Other times the ecstasy moving in another direction, all the joints of the limbs of his body, they're separated by this much. It's not charming. It's intense. What is revealed here is the magnitude of intensity. Bahye Vishajalahoy Bhitore Anandamoy Krishna Premar Adbhuta Charit. So Kaviraj Goswami says, this is the peculiar characteristic of Krishna Prem, and particularly in the depths of separation, that it appears as though one has been the victim of cobra venom, bitten by a cobra. They're hemorrhaging externally, and it says internally, relishing some peculiar, extraordinary sweetness. This is a paradox. So, but I think I understand the question. Because we'll think, well, we're being told that these are the most confidential pastimes. And that's the subject matter of Chaitanya Charitamritam. So what is this peculiar sentiment of the devotees? Well, we can understand. They don't like to see Mahaprabhu like that. So I asked Srila Guru Maharaj once, then thinking, well, Navadvip, Puri, which is preferable? Don't want to necessarily use words like superior. but there's some kind of, which is preferable? Or what do you have to say about this? And Srila Guru Maharaj, he told me, because I was thinking, oh, because it appears the highest, most internal thing experienced by Mahaprabhu and expressed by him is in Puri. But Guru Maharaj said, he said, stalwart followers of Mahaprabhu, they prefer Navadvip. And this reveals the hearts of the devotees. So we understand within his heart, he, again, 24 years of the happy pastimes in Navadvip, right? From his birth to 24, until taking sannyas. And in those final days, they're having his internal mood is intensifying, and they're having nocturnal kirtans in Srivasangam, the house of Srivas Thakur. And this is the epitome for those devotees of delight there. That's most charming to them, that time. And Nimai looking very beautiful, and he's madly dancing, and they're all having these prema rasa kirtans. But then after taking sannyas, his mood begins to move in another direction. 6 years, although immediately, Kahan Krishna Prananath Murali Badan, Kahan Karun Kahan Pan Brajendra Nandan. Immediately he's running to Vrindavan. But, and Guru Maharaj says, with a childlike mentality, he's lost in this divine madness of searching for Sri Krishna. Right. Now nothing will hold him other than the love and affection of his devotees. So Mahaprabhu is running madly towards Vrindavan, but then he's sort of circling and goes in Raradesh and other places. And it's as if the love and affection of those devotees, the Navadvip devotees, and by extension, that means Advaita and all that, Nityananda, Gadadhar, Chandrasekhar, Acharjong. Their that pull upon him will not release him. But really, he wants to go to Vrindavan madly, the way Srimati Radharani is madly searching for Krishna. She is the epitome of the search for Sri Krishna, reality of the beautiful. But I mentioned we know by the ploy, the tricks of Nityananda Prabhu, he's brought to Advaita's house in Shantipur. All the Navadvip devotees assemble there again. Before that, they were brokenhearted, suicidal, statue-like. And Guru Maharaj would sing this song, this line, Nadia Dharakore, Gora Jaire. The life, the light of Nadia has left, and they're thinking, what have we done? What offenses have we committed that he's left us? But some hope comes at the return at the house of Advaita Acharya. But when they have those kirtans, Hare Krishna, it's mind-shattering and causing Mahaprabhu to crash to the ground sometimes, so many times. Repeat, sometimes it says 100 times an hour, different type of ecstatic condition. Nityananda, they're trying to contain him. When he goes to Puri, and there, Puri is as Navadvip is Vrindavan, Puri is Dwaraka. So there we can say Jagannath represents Dwaraka Krishna, Why in this form? Dwaraka Krishna, feel overwhelmed by intense separation from Vrindavan. That is the cause of this ecstatic transformation that is seen as Jagannath. Overwhelmed by ecstatic, by feeling intense separation from Vrindavan. Same thing, arms have entered inside, eyes. It's an ecstatic form. Mahaprabhu, when he sees Jagannath, we're told, he sees Shyamasundar Krishna. And in the mood of Srimati Radharani at Kurukshetra. That's why the Rathyatra pastime. There, someone can search and find other. You can always find many different perspectives on something. As Guru Maharaj would say, they can all be true. Krishna is showing differently to different servitors and devotees, and even the non-devotees, giving them a perspective. The atheists, everyone, it's all okay. But what is Mahaprabhu? Why is he celebrating? Why Rathyatra and Puri? It's a fine point. Why not somewhere else? Someone wanted to do that in Navadvip, and Guru Maharaj said, they didn't understand, Guru Maharaj is in Gopi Bhav, but they're seeking, he is that. So he said, if the gopis see the chariot, they will become angry. And the people are like, why? If you carefully read the Bhagavatam, and you look at the commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, say, when Uddhava came to Vrindavan, when they're feeling intense separation from Krishna, when they saw his chariot, the empty chariot, they thought, they become angry. And they're thinking, Akrura, he already ripped out our hearts when he took Krishna out of Vrindavan to Mathura. So he already ripped out our hearts. And they're saying, like, did he return for our carcasses? What remains? And so then he could load them on his chariot and then offer them to his master Kamsa, and then they could throw them on a funeral pyre. That's what they say. Not so charming. The Guru Maharaj said, if they see the empty chariot at Navadvip is Vrindavan, if they see the empty chariot, they will become angry, upset. So he's saying, don't meddle with that, this mixing. It's rasabhas. So Puri is Dwaraka. And there, in Radhabhav, Mahaprabhu, he's celebrating every Rathyatra, which they're doing what? Taking Krishna from Dwaraka to Vrindavan, or from Kurukshetra to Vrindavan. Because you think, why there? In one history it says this, another, one Panda told us, and okay. But think of it in this way. I'm trying to tell that with Gurudev's secret, we start with Guru Maharaj's conception and work from there, not from somewhere else and then try. Then you just filled with confusion. Start with Guru Maharaj's conception and then adjust everything. Everything becomes easily adjustable. So for 6 years, he's, as a sannyasi, traveling, preaching, everywhere, South India and other places, everywhere including Vrindavan, he's always demonstrating the superiority of Krishna conception. And then, now his last 18 years, Puri, another 6 years go by. Every year, Rathyatra being celebrated. But we're told, in the last 12 years of those pastimes, mainly behind closed doors with Srupa Damodar and Ramananda, plunging the depths of Radha Bhav. And again, what are the two zenith points of separation from Krishna? This bahye vishajala, you know, that where the heart achieves greater depths, with the heart under the pressure of intense affection, of separation, will generate its most superior substance. Kurukshetra, these are the two points. Kurukshetra, as we saw, after so many years separation, those who cannot tolerate the blink of an eye. What is that? Atati yad bhavanani kananam tutir yugayate tamapashyatam kuntila kundalam sri mukham jate jara udikshitam sri mukham bhujam jara udikshitam. The Brajagopis, although they're simple, half-civilized, you know, simple jungle girls, and they're generally very respectful to everyone, they're cursing Brahma, the creator, saying, he doesn't know how to make eyes because he makes eyes that blink, that have eyelids, and that blinking is interfering, it's obstructing the beautiful vision of Krishna. So as the creator is a fool. So when they're expressing this sort of mood, we can say man even, they're so bold and audacious. But that's not their normal nature. Normally they're very nice, very respectful of everyone. But when someone is obstructing their connection with Krishna, then their hearts are expressed. So for those who could not tolerate the blink of an eye, again, we're talking about Gurudev, like to quote the song of Chandida Svidyapi, that Shamanam song, not the effects of Shamanam entering the ears of Srimati Radharani. And there, I don't recall the line, but it says that one can never be satisfied by meeting with Krishna. It's impossible. We would think, no, that's the ultimate goal, the ultimate object. And they're saying, yes. And if you have the good fortune to meet, you'll never be satisfied. It will only leave you with increased hankering that cannot be satisfied by any amount of union or meeting. That's what is being said. And what is one of the proofs, the evidence, is that mentions that the Rasa Leela, Brahma Ratri, means a night of Brahma. That's when Krishna gave the indication to Yogamaya to set the stage and create the cast. Stage and casting for Rasa Leela. Also, so many nights were condensed in one. The extraction and the expansion and contraction of time and space. So many nights into one night. Brahma Ratri, Sahasra Yuga, Parjantam, Ahor Yad Brahmano Vidu. 1,000 of these yuga cycles, 4,300,000 years to one night. And what do they say in retrospect? You know, it was like the blink of an eye. 4,300,000,000, that night, like the blink of an eye. The poet Wallace Stevens has a song called 13 Ways of Looking at a Blackbird. Paraphrasing, one of the lines says, I do not know which I prefer, the sound of the blackbird or just after. Like we hear the coquilles here sometimes. I don't know what I prefer. Hearing the sound of the coquille or just after the sound of the coquille, remembering the sound of the coquille. There's something special in there. So they said, it was like the blink of an eye. But their remembrance of that, some say, they say that pain is the authentic source of human memory. Like, if you can remember something that was nice, you won't feel blissful. But if you remember some, like, painful event or circumstance, it can be more painful than when it happened. But the joy side of things, remembering that, it won't make you happy. You won't get that same joy again. But pain, it can be even greater in remembrance. So they're saying, this meeting, oh, it was like the blink of an eye. But now they've entered the separation zone. A reversal takes place. Now in this realm, in separation from Krishna, we're told, the blinking of an eye, yugaitam nimishena chakshusha pravishayitam sunyaitam jagat sarvam govindavirahiname. The blink of an eye is like a day of Brahma, yuga. So it's just more intense. All that union was like the blink of an eye. The blink of an eye in separation from Krishna, it's like forever. Govinda viraha. Yugaitam. Yuga, it's forever. And that's why Krishna descended as Mahaprabhu, to relish this particular point of view. That's his personal pardon me?
Personal reason.
Yes, personal reason. Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima Kiddusho Vanayeva Asvadhyena Adbhuta Madhurima Kidrusham Madhya Sokyam Chasya Maranubhavita Kidrusham Veti Lobha Tad Bhavadya Samajani Sachi Garbha Sindho Hurindu. Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami is quoting Swarup Damodar, saying, why Radha Mahima Pranaya Mahima, like the greatness of her love, that Vanayeva means that she alone possesses. That means Mahabhav. He wants to taste Mahabhav. Krishna does not, he's ecstasy personified, he's not tasting Mahabhav. That's only taste from the devotional position and the position of the supreme devotee, Srimati Radharani. That he wants to experience. The greatness of that, he can't estimate how great it is. Although Krishna is omniscient and omnipotent, he cannot estimate how great is the love of Srimati Radharani. It's overwhelming. Asvadya yenad bhuta madhuri. And the sweetness that she's tasting, he wants to taste that. Skurman says, sweetness is tasting itself, the supreme positive and the position of the supreme negative. Sweetness tasting itself, becoming mad in the outcome. Sokyam chasya manu, and the type of ecstasy that she is experiencing. So, Zenith Point, Kurukshetra, after all those years, that means separations reached at Zenith Point. And the other Zenith Point, Uddhava Darshan, when Uddhava is sent from Mathura with a letter for the Braja Gopis to assuage their feelings of separation. And at that time, seeing the Brahmar, means a big bumblebee, Srimati Radharani, she exhibits this divine madness, which is known in the Bhagavatam as the Brahmar Gita, these mysterious slokas, of which one we can say, Yad Anucharita Lila Karna Piyusha Viprut, He's saying, if you get one drop, piyush means nectar, one drop of the nectar of hearing about Krishna ruins everything. That's what she said. A drop of the nectar of hearing Krishna, then you're ruined forever. But this is all inverted speaking. It's showing the power of a drop of Krishna katha. Yadanu charita lila karna piyusha viprut, if that enters the ear, viprut sadkrid dadana viduta danda dharma vinashta. Then the dharma, everything, the duality of the world, everything is ruined. Sapadi griho kutumbam dinam utsrija. Sapadi griham, yeah. And she said, then you become like these birds who just, they wander from this place to that place, somehow sustaining themselves. They have no homes. And then Viswanath Chakrabarti Thakur will say, yeah, that the birds you become like is a Paramahamsa, who no longer has any interest in anything mundane. That's why she's saying one drop of this substance ruins everything. Means one drop of this substance gives everything. But she's speaking as if angry toward Krishna. And Krishna says in the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamritam, if my beloved is angry at me and cursing me, galagal, and that steals my mind away from the reverential hymns of the Vedas. So although Krishna, Hari, he's known as the thief, right? Guru Maharaj said, Hare, can indicate that Srimati Radharani, she's a greater thief because she can manohar, steal the mind of Krishna. So that's the other point. So Rath Yatra, they're celebrating publicly, but then that Zenith point of separation, and then behind closed doors, the Brahmar Gita with Srup Damodar, Ramanandan saying the song Vidyapati Chandidas Jayadev, Gita Govinda Jagannath Balaban Natak of Ramananda Roy, Krishna Karnamritam. Those verses will be meaningful to someone who feels separation for Krishna, like Srila Gurudev, often relishing the Karnamritam sloka, Kosturi tilakam lala tapalake bhakshes kostu nasha agre namamoktitam kara venam kare kankanam sarvanga harichandanam chakalayan mukte gopastri parivestito vijayate gopala chudamani. And so many slokas in there. Mahaprabhu is chanting them, relishing them. But seeing the devastating effects of this separation upon him is painful to the hearts of his devotees. So they like to remember those Navadvipa pastimes. Guru Maharaj has in his sloka, the Premadama Deva Stotram, the one that begins, Laka Laka Lochanashru, saying, tears from the eyes of millions when they were shearing his hair, how beautiful he looked, and then the barbers cutting the hair of Mahaprabhu, and Guru Maharaj says, tears were pouring from the eyes of, they're fainting, swooning, it's killing them, it's breaking their hearts. They love him so much. And he's so beautiful that way. And then shaving his head. So, Guru Maharaj said, he mentioned Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where after those 5 years or so, sannyas, he returns to Navadvip, and Vishnu Priya and Satyamata off in the periphery. Vishnu Priya, she's emaciated, and says to Satyamata, "There's your son." She doesn't say, "There's my husband," and she says, "There's your son." And to, you know, Tyaktva Sudushtuja Surevshita Raja Lakshmin, Dharmista Arja Vachasad Yaragara Ranyam, Mayam Rigam Doyitayip Siptam Anvadavad Bande Mahaparushite Charanaravindam. He had to sacrifice, give up the imperial throne of the Krishna Prem in the heart of Vishnu Priya to rescue the world. But to give some relief to her, he steps out of his padukas, the wooden shoes, and moves on with the crowd, and she clutches those and worships them, their house, Mahaprabhu Bari, Vishnu Priya Bari, and the deity, Mahaprabhu, Nimai Pandit. And the deities always have hair, like as Nimai Pandit, all of them. And when that deity was commissioned, they presented once to her, she dismissed, another time dismissed, third time she drew her veil, she saw Nimai Pandit. And when I asked Guru Maharaj about deities of Mahaprabhu, how they should be, he said, that deity should be used as the reference. He said, if you see that deity, get the darshan of that deity, then you'll understand everything. But Mahaprabhu, from Navadvip, he goes to Vidyanagar, and the word spreads that Nimai Pandit has returned as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he is there at the house of Vidya Vachaspati, the relative of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Comes out on the rooftop balcony. And the 100,000s have come, and their ranks have swollen because devatas are entering and disguised as human beings. Sado pasya sriman dritta manujakai pranayitam vahadbi girvane girisha parameshti pabritibi shabaktevya sudham nijabhajana mudramupadisham satchaitanya kime pumar pidashor yashati padam. Rupa Goswami, Brahma and Shiva, they're coming disguised to have a glimpse of the beauty of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And Srila Guru Maharaj referenced the song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where he's saying, taking himself as one of the people in the crowd and seeing Sri Krishna Chaitanya, saying, when will Nimai Pandit give up the robes of renunciation and come again with us at the house of Srivas and Srivasangam? So Guru Maharaj concluded by saying, the stalwart followers of Mahaprabhu prefer Navadvip. So it has to do with the love and affection of his devotees and their hearts. So they cannot tolerate seeing him like that. So all the deities, whether the hands are this way, that way, this way, always as with hair. And they don't like to see him otherwise. Any other question?
Maharaj, you mentioned that one cannot be satisfied with union. And can one be satisfied with separation?
Well, we're told it's peculiar. We have to see how it is described. Apparently very painful, but internally relishing some peculiar nectarine substance. So, but that leads one to hanker for Krishna. Upon achieving, one cannot be satisfied. So there, it's like an endless cycle. Of ever growing, developing love and affection. In a general sense, we can say they're satisfied, but if we look at it more closely and more deeply, you'll see they cannot be satisfied. In other words, they cannot get enough of Krishna. People who are infatuated with someone in this world feel like that. Where does that come from? Here, they get over it, turns into something else. But it must have its representation in the original. The difference being, there is no satiation in that sense. So the satisfaction as we know it would be occupy a lesser position. As one goes deeper, they will hanker more. We're told, look at Charitamritam, saying Krishna and the Brajagopis, they're looking at each other. They've made themselves look very beautiful for him. Krishna's reality, the beautiful, beauty personified. By looking at him, you know, it makes the Brajagopis look more beautiful. Krishna, seeing they become more beautiful, he becomes more beautiful. And this way, there's an endless competition. And they're not satisfied. So if we see really what happens in the pastimes is something dramatic to put it into another cycle. If satisfaction implies stagnant position, it's unacceptable. And it says, an ever-increasing ocean of joy. Not a static ocean of joy. An ecstatic, dynamic. That means always showing new qualities, new characteristics. So they cannot become satiated by any amount of association or drinking the nectaring beauty of Krishna. So that sort of, you know, dissatisfaction is a good thing. See, we know limitations of fulfillment on the basis of mundane things. So someone takes something and then they reach a point where they can't take anymore. On account of limited capacity. That cannot be the position of the devotees and their hankering for Krishna. When Krishna leaves every day to go to the forest of Vrindavan for cow herding, we're told, Mother Yashoda, she cannot let go. So they have to do it many times. They're like many, and then he comes back. Like when Gurudev would go from Navadvip to Calcutta, and by the time his car would reach the Gauranga Setu Bridge, Hari Charan would be there and say, Guru Maharaj wants you to come back. So then Gurudev, he have to sing Tungamani Mandire, the song saying that one of his songs in his childhood, saying how Radharani's heart is like a lighthouse of Krishna Prem. He said, this song always put Guru Maharaj in a good mood. So they can't bear the separate. Somehow they separate Krishna from Mother Yashoda to get him to go to the cowherding. And Nanda Maharaj, they're mad in separation from Krishna. Until he comes back. And then gods are assembled there trying to have a glimpse and maybe have a few words, and Mother Yashoda is thinking they're wasting his time. We can't estimate her position or how she thinks. Saying that Brahma, they're wasting Krishna's time. Who are these people? She cannot be satiated looking at the face of Krishna. Gurudev would sing that song too. He said, Yasamati is doing arati to the face of Krishna. So the higher devotee, they're in a constant position of hankering. It's beyond what we can estimate from our present position. What is the meaning of Rupa Goswami's slogan saying, like, when I chant the name Krishna, one tongue is insufficient to taste the sweetness. I want a million tongues. For us, it should be enough to know, like, such a plane exists. There's a plane where that's a realistic sentiment. That should be enough to capture our imagination. Saying, and it's so, the sound is so beautiful and sweet. 2 ears are insufficient. I want millions of ears to capture the sweet sound. There are such persons who can say that and it's real. That should capture our imagination. It's beyond what we can estimate. Atak Shri Krishna Namadi Nabhavye Gryam Indri. It's beyond the grasp of the intellect and the senses. So if we try to analyze this with our intellect, we'll crash. Or Guru Maharaj would say, break your head. Finite is trying to measure the infinite. The sum total of the finite cannot measure the infinite. Krishna tells Arjuna, Ekang stenasti to jagat. Let me know when you've had enough. Showing the universal form. And Arjuna is frightful. And Krishna saying, like, I'm not even directly involved in this. Apart, Ekang stenasti to jagat. The whole thing's going on by extensions. It's not my play, direct interest. But Krishna is fascinated, captured by devotion, by heart. Everyone in the world knows that's the most valuable thing there is. What is all of this stuff for? Really, directly or indirectly, people they're searching for their heart's counterpart. That's what all the technology, why the airplanes, why the world, you know, when it comes down to it, this is what it is about. (Clears throat) prati anga lage kande prati anga mor. Who is capable of reciprocating not only our hearts, the deep hearts, the hankering that's in the deep heart's core, but of every heart. And simultaneously, that's the absolute personality of Godhead. It's not that, like, oh, there are so many people in Goloka, maybe they're not taking applications. I heard it's hard to get in. Yeah, that's true. So Mahaprabhu descended. But there's not some, the absolute doesn't have some sort of shortage of heart to reciprocate everyone's heart's inner hankering. While no one in this world is capable of actually satisfying the hankering of one heart. That's pathetic. The Absolute's capable of satisfying everyone's heart simultaneously. Whatever, however that is being expressed. So Rupa Goswami says, Sri Krishna Karshini Chasa Kleshagni Subhada Moksha Lagutakrit Sandra Nanda Visheshatma Sri Krishna Karshini Chasa. The end of all suffering, mundane suffering, gives all auspiciousness, Subhada. Moksha Laguta makes liberation seem insignificant. Fills the heart, soul with joy, ecstatic joy. And if all of that wasn't good enough, Sri Krishna Karshi, and it can attract Krishna. All attractive Krishna is attracted by this. It's that exalted, it's that wonderful. So much so, as expressed by Srimati Radharani, that he himself would like to experience it. It's that attractive to him. Not only to be the object of love and affection, but to experience what it's like. How it that in itself tells you how exalted devotion is, Krishna consciousness is, love, which is prema. Love and Krishna prema, they're the same. That he himself wants to experience this position. What could be a greater endorsement than that? And then tasting that, he wants to share it with everyone, what he's experiencing. Let everyone taste that divine substance. That's generous. Namo Mahavaranaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaur Tushe Namo. Any other question?
Maharaj, you're always describing such a deep topics, and it can be deeper and deeper, and you also just told us you can start from Guru Maharaj's conception and go from there, and it is also very deep. And just now you mentioned that mind cannot understand all of this stuff, but also we feel that we need some foundation, like firm basics, especially newcomers. So Is it a proper approach that you just dive deep into those deep conceptions?
It said, your heart is hankering for something. This has been, your heart is saying, who can fulfill that? That's foundational. Who can address what your heart is seeking? A person, place, or thing in this world? So you're searching for beauty. We're telling you, Krishna is beauty personified. That is simple and direct. You're searching for happiness. Krishna is happiness personified. Oh, how? You want to understand more? So, what people are not searching for something superficial, actually. By default, they are, but that will not make them happy. Searching for superficial things. You know, the husk is not the rice. The shell is absent the substance. These are foundational things. To understand that you're the spiritually conscious being in a body generated by karmic circumstance, and you're searching for fulfillment. That's foundational. So what will fulfill you? Any amount of the mundane, or quality of mundane, or on account of your subjective nature, must it be something located in the subjective world? I'm not here to hammer over somebody's head day after day, you're not the body, you're the soul, read the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes, but I'm not going to speak every day this theme. I did that for 10 years. So 10 years of hammering this on people's heads. You look in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and see how much of that type of hammering is there. So we're devotees of Mahaprabhu. So you can't just, we're discussing Mahaprabhu, talking about him, saying, oh, it's all too high, you know, people just need to know, like, what are they going to do tomorrow morning when they wake up? You know, like, oh, all right, well, then we have to go all the way back to that. These things are so high. Yeah, all right, then we'll go back. Can the infinite make itself known to the finite? Do you accept this principle? The infinite can make itself known to the finite. And someone says, no, I don't accept that. And someone says, yes, I accept that. All right, so that means you accept the principle of revealed truth. Here, there's one level of revealed truth in the Bible or the Quran or the Torah. There's another level of revealed truth in the Vedas, the Upanishad, the Puranas. Another level of revealed truth in the Mahapurana, the Bhagavatam. How serious are you to know these things? Or just always want to go back to ABC. 2 + 2 = 4. We need, you know, addition, subtraction, you know, got to go back to grade one and go A, B, C, D, E, learn the ABCs. How does the song go? No, I know how it goes. So it has a place, but can't stay forever in grade one. And say, well, grade three, they're discussing things, you know, like, yes. You're dealing with the ultimate reality and say, well, it's pretty deep. Well, I guess it should be. Shouldn't it? You know, it's the ultimate reality from which everything has come. So how earnest seriousness is someone to become acquainted with these things? So if we say, yes, so then read the Bhagavad Gita, read the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita about Atmagyan, understanding the difference between, you know, the body, the gross body, the subtle body, etc. That's general. Aham Brahmasmi. That's not in this sense a Vaishnava aphorism. That's for everyone. I'm spirit. The Mayavadis say that. The Vaishnavas say, everybody says that. That's general. If someone says, no, I don't accept that, then they're not going to go very far. And it's a waste of time to argue with them. And say, no, I don't believe in God or spirit. Okay, that's your choice. For those who do, there's a way to systematically study these things. We are primarily Gaudiya Vaishnavas. That means we study the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His teachings are about Krishna Bhakti, devotion to Krishna. So that's our primary emphasis. But we understand, yeah, in another context, someone, what would be appropriate for them is to hear Atmagyan, knowledge about the soul, the spirit. It's in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita and other places. We believe that, we preach it all the time. But here, I'm in the context of answering questions about Mahaprabhu. So it would be to go backwards. Talking about the difference between Mahaprabhu's, Puri pastimes and his Navadvip pastimes. So the question by its nature is a deep one. Then there must be some understanding about what is Navadvip, what is Puri, who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what is Vrindavan, Krishna, Jagannath, Dwaraka, all of these things, which are at the heart of the matter of the discussion of Gaudiya Vaishnavas. The followers of Mahaprabhu, they delight in having these discussions. It was the first sloka of the Prema Dhamma Stotram. Do you know? Svarna Koti Darpanaba Dehovarna Gauravam Padma Parijata Nanda Vanditanga Sauravam Koti Kami Murchitangri. Is that? Oh, Deva Siddha Mukta Jukta Bhakta Vrinda Banditam Paputapa Dava Daha Dukha Kanditam Krishna Nama Siddhu Dama Danya Dana Sagaram Prema Dama Deva Meva Nomi Gaura Sundaram. So we're talking about Mahaprabhu. The Devas, the Siddhas, the Muktas, the Vyuktas, the Bhakta, Vrinda, they're all singing his praise. So then someone has to know, what is a Deva? What is a Siddha? What is a Mukta? What are Bhaktas? Okay, well, it's very deep. It is. Endless ocean deep. That's what we're interested in. Still, we're talking to someone who knows absolutely nothing about these things. Why should we conceal Krishna? It may be the only opportunity they have in their life to hear something about Krishna. So we may not want to say something so general. We want them to hear about Krishna. Even if only for a moment, it'd be the crowning glory of their lifetime as they hear the sound of the name of Krishna once in their life. Even if you say, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, for the soul there's neither birth nor death, na jayate, mriyate, vakadashan. Maybe even more than hearing the slokas, they heard, Krishna says. So it's all good. But we're inclined to discuss the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, especially in the association of devotees. If we're going to some public program, we're dealing with people who have no knowledge or exposure, we may take another route. I'm talking about these things all the time, 100 times, 1,000 times. Matchmaker.com, is that too deep? Is that something people have never heard of or can't relate to? If I talk about matchmaker.com, finding your soulmate, and segue from there to a little talk about God, divinity, the personality of Godhead. So it depends on who the audience is. And our audience, as we're here right now, is primarily devotees and those aspiring to go deeper, to have a deeper understanding of these things. Which was our Guru Maharaj, what did he say? He prefers to speak on higher things in a small circle than general things, lower things, in a large circle. That's who my guru is. That's his preference. That's how he spoke. I'm trying to reiterate, reproduce things that I've heard from him. These are the things he talked about. You know, they're very deep. That's right. They are. Swami Maharaj himself said, he has deep realizations of Krishna. If you heard them, you will faint. That's my interest. I'm interested in those things. So I told, when they, Govinda Maharaj told Guru Maharaj, he said, Goswami Maharaj wants you to tell him something that will make him faint. That's my interest. But if someone earnestly wants to discuss other things, we're ready for that too. We'll discuss it again. I'm not, don't mean to indirectly make less of the Atma-gyan, Atma-tattva that's within the pages of Bhagavad Gita. I repeatedly read those slokas, relish them. But what is it saying there? You know, ascharjavat paschati kashchidenam. If you have a glimpse of your soul, you'll be astonished. So that's what Krishna says. That, and again, I've made this point. All the things he's saying there, we can repeat them with great confidence, considering who it is that's speaking. So someone hearing that, it may touch them in a particular way. And they hear those things. And they want to hear more, to go further, to go deeper. But we should not forget that Krishna consciousness, it's there's nothing deeper than this. So if in discussing it, we say from time to time, high things or deep things, that's going to happen by virtue of what we're talking about. We're talking about the ultimate reality and as revealed in the pastimes of Mahaprabhu. So it's very deep. Someone hearing those things, as I told once, a lady from a journalist was interviewing me in San Jose and discussing many things that I didn't care to discuss. It was a very awkward conversation. And while I'm talking to her, Mahayogi Maharaj knocked on the door and he said, there's some professors visiting from the school in the Midwest. I was thinking of showing them a excerpt of a video of Guru Maharaj. You have any, you know, recommendations? I said, oh, show, you know, number this one. He goes, well, which one? I'm saying, the one where Mahaprabhu was saying, if I had a drop of love for Krishna, I would have died long ago. He goes, oh, yeah, that's a great, yeah. And he leaves, and he's going to go show them this excerpt of a talk of Guru Maharaj. And that newspaper reporter, who had no interest in Krishna consciousness, other than like finding out some, you know, ugly things or awkward things. This is like the sole purpose of this meeting. And I'm somehow reluctantly participating in this. And then now we're going to go back to this talk. And she said, can I ask you a question? And I said, yeah, lady, go ahead. And she goes, why did that person say, if I had a drop of love for Krishna, I would have died a long time ago? That was interesting to her. Not some talk about, you know, conscious, you know, like that picked her imagination. And I said, well, you know, I'm glad you asked. I thought you'd never ask. Then I told her as best I could something. So, and I'm not saying, so then we should just randomly shoot fragments of high things out of the environment. I'm not saying that. That's just how that happened at that time. Yes, generally we do start with the elementary position. That's correct. Atma-tattva, Atma-gyan, and the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita and other parts of Gita, and there are talks like similar to that in the Bhagavatam. That is the way we begin. But there's also, you look at how Mahaprabhu teaches Rupa Goswami, Rupa Shiksha, that structure. Wandering through the length and breadth of the universe and different life forms, they, if they're fortunate, they get connection with Guru and get the Bhakti Lata beads, the seed of devotion. That's how Mahaprabhu begins his talk to Rupa. Then he talks about karmis, gyanis, yogis, and devotees in terms of gradation. Then he's talking about the seed of devotion growing and developing. That's for someone who's interested in devotion, knowing about which is what Krishna consciousness is. So, still, generally we will start that way. And then, as I told once, in a conference with reporters, they asked Prabhupada, they're sitting there with him, what is the purpose of life? And we're all thinking, because we're trained to say, the purpose of the human form of life is to engage in self-realization or God-realization, or to realize your love of God, or there are these rote recitation of answers we're trained to say in general. So we're thinking, well, Prabhupada's going to say one of these things. I wonder which one he's going to say. So they go, Swami, what is the purpose of life? And he says, enjoyment. And they all go, oh, really? And then he said, problem is, at present, no one is enjoying. And then he gave a little talk about that. About suffering. That's more on this theme of the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So that's, we worship that, and we will forever preach that. But I think when we're with our group who accept these things, embrace them, then we're pursuing what is exclusively Gaudiya. As Guru Maharaj says, connotation decreases, denotation decreases. They used to make a poster showing how everyone in the world loves Bhagavad Gita, not just us. So Emerson, Thoreau, in the morning I bathe my intellect in the cosmogonal and stupendous glory of the Bhagavad Gita, in comparison with which our modern literature seemed trivial and puny in comparison. And Nietzsche, and this, everyone loves Juan Mascaro, Christopher Usherwood, Annie Besant, Hitler. Everybody loves the Bhagavad Gita. As connotation increases, denotation decreases. We say, but the Gita and Mayavadis, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, Sri Vaishnavas, Madhvas, Mayavadis, you say, no, but Bhagavad Gita must be understood in terms of the light of Srimad Bhagavatam. Then, not the Mayavadis, others, now it's the Vaishnavas. Madhva line, Sri Vaishnavas, Ramanuja line, Gaudiya line. And if we say, and Bhagavatam should be understood through Mahaprabhu and his, and the Rupanuga line, then you're with Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Still, Guru Maharaj would say, because as you point out, we do from time to time discuss things that are very high. He said, so I take the name of Nityananda, Dhyal Nitai, to restore myself to my former position, because maybe in discussing these high things, I said something wrong. I made a mistake, or I committed an offense. So I take the name of Nityananda to humbly resume my natural, aspirational, humble position. Hare Krishna.